version of the digitally uploaded podcast. My name is Alan, and I am joined today with a large crew, actually, of a lot of people to talk about the Ubisoft press conference that has just happened. It's rather exciting. There's a lot of stuff happening there. So shall we first, of course, welcome Matt.
Hello.
Obviously, if you've ever been on Digitally Downloaded, you probably know that he is the head of the site. And we've also got Trent.
Hey.
Ginny.
Hey.
And Harvard's also here as well. Or not.
Or not.
Or not. Oh, hi, Harvard.
There's another Matt
here, but he is sort of flittering in and out, so we may see him or may not see him.
Well, you probably won't see me, but you might hear me.
Well, there we go now. Well, now I look like a fool. So, as I've just said before, Ubisoft just finished their press conference, like, right then. That was rather exciting. A lot of things on show there. What do we all think is the best thing that we've seen in that show?
Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones looks pretty cool. Do you want to go into sort of detail about what that is?
Yeah, so, I mean, Skull and Bones is a new one. I don't think anybody knew about that one before the show. That was newly announced. And, yeah, it's in development by Ubisoft Singapore, which was the same group that did the ship combat, I believe, for Assassin's Creed Black Flag back in the day. And, yeah, it's 5v5 online focused, I guess, multiplayer pirate ship battling game, but it also looks like it has a narrative with the giant squid, which would make Alan happy.
Hooray!
And yeah, I mean, it looks really good. It looks really, really good. Really excited for that one. I'm a big fan of, you know, pirates and naval history and old ships blasting each other into bits. So yeah, that game was certainly my highlight.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Like, I think we can all agree that the pirate bits of Assassin's Creed 4 were the best bits of Assassin's Creed 4, to be quite honest.
By a long way.
Yeah, and I'm just glad they've actually taken that and run with it, because that was the biggest disappointment with Unity for me, was that there was no ship combat. They took out the best bits and replaced it with things that sucked. So hopefully they'll take all the best bits from 4 and run with it and make a game that's worth actually playing. Yes. Also, do want to talk a little bit about the fact that we now have more information about Origins, Assassin's Creed Origins. It is a game. It's definitely a game. I think it's pretty much, we can all agree that it's like exactly what we thought it would be in terms of like the game feel, and that it looks very Witcher-like still, which I honestly believe is to be a really, really amazingly good thing. Because personally, the combat in, the Assassin's Creed games has never been its forte. But it looks like something that if you're not into the series, it might be a good starting point, especially as it is like a soft reboot, I guess. And given the fact that it has been 10 years since the beginning of Assassin's Creed as a series, which is just actually horrifying to me, it could be really, really good, actually. I'm quietly optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that at the Microsoft show yesterday, and it's got a lot of pluses for me as well. I think, yeah, as a fan of Assassin's Creed, I'm looking forward to this one. I think it's a nice change in setting from the European settings and the other various white settings that it's been. So, it's delving into a history that's, older than the Assassin's Creed is usually based, so that might change things up a little bit. And the thing that Assassin's Creed always needed fixing was that combat, and it seems to be much improved now, so they keep improving on things, which is great.
I'm just really excited to play a game set in ancient Egypt, because that is a setting that is just really underutilized, I think, in games, and it's got so much potential. And well, the Middle East in general has so much to offer. So I'm glad to see.
Especially since the Middle East is where the Assassins actually came, even though they came much later than the time that's kind of been depicted in this game. At least we're in the right geography now, more or less.
It's a nice change of pace. Can we also talk about Rabbids while we're here? Because I feel like we need to.
I think that's going to surprise us all. I mean, I don't think anybody was expecting XCOM.
No, I could have never expected that in my life. That is such a bizarre choice.
Good. You were actually. Trent has been saying that it's going to be one of the best games of the show for like weeks now, and you know, it's certainly one of the.
It actually might be, and that's scary.
Yeah, I think for clarity, Trent's been saying that it's going to be the game of the year since before it was even announced, and he might be right.
It just looks like it's more.
This
like,
year is a quiet year, so.
Oh yeah, we've only had like three games worth playing, apparently.
But yeah, I mean, to anybody who wasn't watching the show, I don't know why you'd be on this. But if you weren't watching the Ubisoft show for whatever reason, Rayman Rabbids, whatever it's called, sorry, not Rayman, Rabbids Mario, whatever it's called, is a collaboration between, you know, the Rabbids and the Mario Brothers series from Nintendo, and we all knew it was going to be an RPG, I think, but what it's turned out to be is like this tactics RPG with cover systems and stuff, which is basically, yeah, XCOM. And that was pretty unexpected. It looks bright, it looks colourful, it looks wacky, as you'd expect from the Rabbids. And yeah, this one doesn't have any involvement from a Nintendo, apparently. It's all Ubisoft led, but it looks like it will do the Mario property justice, which is good.
Yeah, it's XCOM. I'm probably gonna love it.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy it.
That just blows my mind. Mario with, you know, cover mechanics.
Jenny, do you have any particular thoughts on Mario and Rabbids? Perhaps
well, I mean, Mario Rabbids is not a combination that I thought I would look at and go, this sounds really great. But I love tactics games. So I think I've been incredibly sold on the fact that it is, like everyone else has already described, it's basically XCOM, but with Mario and Rabbids. And I mean, also, like, I feel like if they're really going to go down that route, like most tactical games, like Fire Emblem, there should be a social link system. You know, I feel like we need the option to get close to the Peach Rabbit, in my particular opinion.
So, and I mean, so if we would be dating in this situation, what character are you playing as?
Well, I feel like I'm definitely playing as Mario. I'm going on the baseline that Mario is like the main character, like P1, that we all get to play as or have on our team.
No, it's so definitely, like, you play as like Luigi. You definitely play as Luigi. Like, that's okay, well, the character who I would expect to be in the Rabbids game. Like, no one really likes him, but he's there.
Well, okay, fine. Either one of the Spaghetti Brothers, I think, would be a good social link partner for the Peach Rabbit. And I mean, what they could do is they could make them like on Fire Emblem. The more you pair up, the higher your chance of getting like a special combo, because we've seen those really cool combo moves where they can like springboard off each other and like throw shit or like fire larger weapons because they're close to each other. If we like integrate that with a very comprehensive social link system, I think it'd be great. And then, you know, I'm like 99% sure that the Peach Rabbit fucks. So
somehow I don't think that's in the game.
That's my 2 cents, guys.
What a hot take. I mean, Harvard, what did you think of the show in particular? Was there anything that really stood out to you?
No, it looks like we've lost Harvard, unfortunately.
Okay. We've lost Harvard. Okay.
Well, Matt, I mean, we know that you're going to be all big for Beyond Good and Evil 2. That's a game you've been asking for like forever and a day.
As has everyone with a brain, I feel.
Sorry, I've never heard of such a thing.
I've not been waiting 17 years for this game. What are you talking about?
that reveal, my brain is still broken from that, I think. I've been looking forward to that, and I've been getting Gail Ansel and his like constant teasing over the last like 10 years. So I'm just glad that it's finally announced.
And looks quite good. Like, it looks like they've put a lot of resources behind it, not just throwing it, you know, together at random.
Yeah. So well, I didn't play the first one until probably about 5 or 6 years ago when the HD remaster came out on PS3, and I think a lot of people are also in the same boat. So
yeah, that was how I played it first as well. It's really good. It holds up. It's just like a classic sort of platformer, sort of stealthy game. It's wonderful. It feels a lot like it's influenced a lot of modern games as well. just because of the way that its photography system works. And it just feels like that is now part of most games, at least Ubisoft games, at least because of Far Cry, like taking it. It's influenced the Ubisoft game, like a generic brand, pretty heavily, which is like apparent and wonderful. So I'm glad they're giving it the time of day again. And watching Michel Ancel like shed a tear on stage was like, oh, he's finally done it. The man with the worst luck in the world has finally made it happen.
Yeah. I mean, just generally speaking, I think the Ubisoft conference was really bloody good this year. They had some new stuff to show off, which was great. You know, they had plenty of footage. There wasn't too much of the nonsense that they were, you know, wasting time showing off bits and pieces that people didn't really care about. Even the Just Dance section only got the tiniest mention, which was, you know, it had to happen because it's a major franchise for Ubisoft, but it's not really an E3 kind of thing. And yeah. Previous years, there'd been a lot of, you know, time wasted on showing off all the new features of Just Dance and whatever. They just kind of got on with the app and got it back off again really quickly this year, which is great. You know, they just, Ubisoft had a lot of stuff to show, and they did. And I think, you know, part of that's probably the endless rumors that, or the hostile takeover that they're trying to beat back from Vivendi, is it?
Yep.
Yeah. So they're obviously trying to, you know, demonstrate that they don't, to shareholders, that they don't need the backing of a bigger company and stuff like that. So the last couple of years, or the last year, I'd say, has been a really productive year for Ubisoft. And we certainly saw that in E3 this year.
They also, as far as I could tell, I didn't see, and maybe I missed it because my dream kept breaking out, but I didn't see any YouTubers or influencers.
No, I saw there was no person who was stoned on stage. Yeah.
Yeah.
E3 press conference. No.
Yeah, that was good to see. A very classical show, focused on, you know, having people who actually know how to present in front of people on stage and stuff. Funny how it works that way, that, you know, a person with a camera on their laptop doesn't necessarily translate into somebody who can speak to 1,000 people live.
Yeah. Also really excited with the Beyond Good and Evil reveal. After looking up her name correctly, Gabrielle Schrager.
She wrote Valiant Hearts.
Yeah, she was one of the writers on Valiant Hearts. So,
which is a very, very good sign. It's one of the best signs you could possibly have.
So we know that beloved property is in good hands as far as the writing goes.
It's a bad sign for a Valiant Hearts sequel, though.
Yeah. I'll cop it.
It was never a game that really would have worked as a sequel anyway. That Valiant Hearts was built around being, you know, a game to commemorate the 100-year anniversary of World War I. That's, you know, another 100 years away before a similar anniversary to go. So they got plenty of time to think about how they might want to develop.
Like the 2-1 for one, too.
Well, World War II is what? Another
30 years.
28 years away or whatever it is. So, you know, they've got plenty of time. What did everyone think of? I mean, running through my mind about what else happened. There was that
Far Cry.
Drive 2. The Club. The Club 2.
The Drive 2.
The Club 2.
The Club.
The crew,
the Crew
2.
There we go.
The Club 2.
That shows how much I was really paying attention to that. It looks like Paul Walker, like people driving around. Now there's planes and boats and stuff, and there's a hot air balloon. And frankly, the hot air balloon was the one I'd want to race in. I think I'd do pretty awesome racing in a hot air balloon. I don't know if you'd
win anything, but I think you get points for trying, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be a good experience, especially if you have to wait until everybody finishes the race and everybody else has finished, like, you know,
you're that guy.
Yeah. Everyone just, like, forfeits the multiplayer lobby, so you win by default.
I think that's brilliant. But, yeah, I mean, it's an open world racing game, yippee.
Yeah.
And stuff. There was also...
Far Cry.
Action, which looks great. You get to shoot some supremacists, which is always good.
And there's a dog.
There is a dog.
Amazing.
It's a dog-o-gun.
The dog gives you guns. America.
And then you can heal the dog. Content.
But yeah, I mean, obviously that's a very controversial game.
But it shouldn't be.
Even though it shouldn't be. I mean, it's it's just doing what Far Cry did with, you know, a slightly different set of insane people to shoot. But yeah, it looks like Far Cry. It looks good. It certainly looks like it's going to be...
It's like a video game.
Yeah, like it's a video game. And they're shooting, which is...
Looks like Far Cry.
So good on that. If you like Far Cry, you'll probably like that one, assuming you enjoy also shooting supremacists. We've also saw some South Park, which is certainly not my beat, but I know Alan likes South Park, so
I do, so I'm going to enjoy that game.
Yeah, it
is. One.
It looks good. Like, I trust Matt and Trey, like, with their properties a lot, so they won't rush it out, they won't make it bad. They genuinely do care, which is really important. And I entirely have faith in them that they'll do the right thing and release a wonderful game. A little bit confused about the combat still, because I'm not sure entirely what it is, because it appears to be grid-based, but also turn-based, but on a 2D plane, which is strange to me. But I'm sure that that'll be different as soon as I play it, because they do tutorials quite well, like going off what the Stick of Truth was like, so it'll be right.
What about the mobile one? Did you like that?
Look, it could be worse. Again, knowing that South Park is built around this, like, hugely, you know, aggressive satire, it doesn't honestly surprise me. I expect there to be microtransactions to a certain degree, but I don't expect them to be taken seriously at all. Especially, you know, given the fact that they did write an episode about this entire situation, which it's reassuring to say the least, in my opinion. But yeah, it'll be fine. It's not going to be as bad as like an EA game where it's like, tap now to wait for 7 hours or like want to die sort of thing. But yeah, I'm sure I'll be right. It'll be fine. It won't be something that anyone will play, seriously, I don't think, but it'll do fine.
We should also note, I think, that the South Park release, the non-mobile one, is actually called Fractured Butthole.
So the Fractured Butthole.
Put that out there, it's so everyone
a wonderful title made by very intelligent people. I love it.
It's been called that for, well, since it was first announced, like 2 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've said it out loud until this morning. I didn't get that until this morning.
Yeah, so there you go. Alan's looking forward to South Park.
The Fractured Butthole.
Yeah.
We are all looking to the Fractured Butthole.
What else was announced? There was also a DLC add-on for Steep.
Yeah.
Yay.
The winter events of Pyeongchang to us, because that's obviously the host city for the
Winter Olympics.
Yeah, next year.
Something that no one wanted or asked for.
I mean, look, I like Winter Olympics, so usually, I mean, I'm the guy that buys the Olympics games when they happen and stuff as well, because I like playing them, you know, through the Olympics and then never play them again. But, you know, I get my money's worth. And I would have certainly been interested in a Winter Olympics game if that had been standalone. Unfortunately, that's an add-on for Steep, and I just have no interest in playing the rest of Steep, so, or buying it. So
neither does anyone else, so you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me, that seemed like the coolest bit. That would have been the coolest bit in Steep, because, yeah, Winter Olympics organization, the way, you know, the way the sports is structured and stuff is interesting to me. But, yeah.
Is it confirmed that it's just an add-on and they're not doing a standalone?
It's just DLC.
Yeah, it was announced as downloadable content, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of other companies have been doing that.
No, it's
doing their DLC as standalone as well.
If it's substantial enough, it's not like Ubisoft done standalone DLC in the past. It has done it with the Assassin's Creed games and stuff. So it might happen that way as well with Steep. And if so, I'd actually consider buying Pyeongchang as a separate bit of DLC if that's playable by itself.
Shall we go around?
We should quickly mention the Toys for Life game, which was also the
big that you decided. No Man's Skylanders.
Yeah, No Man's Skylanders. It looks good.
Yeah,
I really like it. The ability to build your ships up by putting, you know, extra weapons on the base ship and stuff is really cool. As I think Harvard mentioned through while we were watching the event. It looks like a game that feels more native on the Switch, and something you probably want to take with you and play as you go around, you know, as, on the go. So yeah, that'll be the version I buy, but it's coming to PS4 and Xbox and stuff. So yeah, that's Ubisoft's quite late to the game with the Toys to Life thing, but looks like they're doing a good job with this one.
So
okay. It's also great to see Toys to Life, which isn't, you know, inherently a kid's game. Like, it's a little bit more mature, you know, spacey,
yeah, that's right,
you know, that sort of stuff. So I think it'd be great to see that sort of take on it rather than something like Skylanders, which is, you know, more cutesy and cuddly and, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you could argue that Lego's a kind of a game that, or something that appeals to adults as much as it does children, if not more so. But yeah, I do agree with you. This one does look like it's aimed at a slightly older audience, or at least a more broad audience. And then, you know, adults will get into it. It's another open world game. And every time Ubisoft says open world, I shudder a little bit.
Yeah.
I can't wait to climb towers.
Yeah. I wish Ubisoft could, you know, create something that's not open world, but I'm willing to give it a go. Let's put it.
Yeah, and so I think before we wrap it up, we've got one more game, which is the VR game, Transference.
Oh, yes, with Elijah Wood.
With Elijah Wood and his merry band of mad scientists.
Is he like a developer, or is he just
I think he's one of the creative people behind it, like creative director or something.
Well, I'm pretty sold on it then. Like, we didn't get a sense of what the game's going to really be about, other than it's
VR.
Yeah, upload your consciousness and be terrified of the world. Yeah.
But Ubisoft is by far the best studio out there, best AAA studio out there when it comes to VR. Like, Eagle Flight and Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Up there with the best VR experiences you can have. So, if you know, if Ubisoft is putting you know, a big budget and Elijah Wood behind a VR game, I'm actually pretty sold on it. I think on concept alone, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And we won't have long to wait either. It comes out early 2018. So I think it'll be good to see what happens there, yeah.
I was reading some stuff. Apparently that's actually Elijah Wood's studio itself. Like, he's gone on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the impression I got. I thought it was actually his studio. So yeah, I didn't even realize he'd gone and created game studio, but.
Neat.
I mean, why not, I guess?
Yeah, sure.
Well, if Vin Diesel can do it.
Jesus.
So, shall we just go around sort of the table that we're sitting at metaphorically and just say what we thought was the best, what we thought was the worst, and then wrap this one up for the morning?
Yeah. I mean, just generally for me, I think it was, I mean, it's the most interesting conference I've seen of E3 so far, and it's certainly the one that's got me most excited about the games that are coming out of next year. I know people have their issues with Ubisoft overall, but I do think of the AAA publishers. They are the most creative and the most interesting, and they are the ones that try to do things that are a bit different, even while working, you know, within the constraints of having to do big budget games and having to sell lots of copies. So for me, this one was really exciting, actually. I'm really keen on a lot of stuff that they've got coming, especially Skull and Bones.
I mean, I'm going to take Beyond Good and Evil 2 because it's mine now and I own it. I'm going to own it in about, you know, a year and a half, so that's wonderful. Very excited for that. I just don't care about the crew at all. I don't think anyone does. I don't think anyone with any sort of interest in cars does. But yeah, I mean, it's a game. It's a game, that's the best I can say about it. It looks like it exists.
Amazing.
I am exactly the same as you, Alan. Beyond Good and Evil 2 is my highlight, just because I've been waiting for that for so long, and it looks so good. And the club, the
the crew too,
whatever it's called,
the club crew, the crew cut,
cars driving around that looks,
the country club,
yeah,
that Horizon looks, Drive,
Horizon Zero Shift.
I mean, unless the whole, like, upside-down world and the little cube thing driving up the walls is actually part of the game and wasn't just there for cinematic effect, that might make it a little bit of fun.
You just want Inception, the racing game.
Yeah, I do want
exactly.
Inception, the racing
100%,
game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I guess for me, weirdly enough, Rabbids Mario XCOM is on my list of games that I want.
Yeah.
And also shout out to Skull and Bones because as someone who is Singaporean, I mean, I'm super glad to see Ubisoft Singapore getting some action after what they've done for Assassin's Creed. And also, I mean, I think the best part of that game, as everyone has already agreed, was the ship combat. So I think it'll be a really good game, and the story looks interesting if the giant squid is going to stay in it. Which I know Alan will be very happy about.
Hooray!
And yeah, and I'm also tentatively interested in the VR title because as someone who gets wildly motion sick, I think the reality of me playing VR is very slim. But if they fix it by the time the game comes out, then I will gladly, gladly put money on that.
So I think Ubisoft, you know, across the board has always been, you know, a great company, you know, in terms of creativity. E3s, for me, they always win an E3. Like, across the board for the third-party developers, they're going to be pretty high up there. They're, you know, at times people hate them, they're pretty cookie-cutter. But, you know, across the board, they're going to have some good games, you know. I think Far Cry, Assassin's Creed, pretty much all the games shown at some point, I'll probably get them. So Ubisoft is a great developer in terms of they have such a broad example of, you know, software from different genres, which, you know, yes, they fit the, you know, climb a tower, you know, set a whole world, you know, that sort of
the Ubisoft game.
Yeah, but, you know, they're so broad in terms of what worlds you can explore compared to other developers or publishers. So I think by at the end of it, even though I'm excited for most for Mario X Rabbids, I might get pretty much everything shown off because everything looks, you know, solid and great.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think we can all agree that this was a pretty decent press conference, to be quite frank.
Yeah, probably the best one, I think, compared to EA's collection of dead behind the eyes CEOs.
Surprising, really. I think surprising. Because, yeah, I mean, the new stuff that was shown off. Last year we got Verona and stuff like that, and it wasn't perhaps so interesting. But the new stuff that Ubisoft's working on this year is genuinely interesting.
Yeah. So I think with that, we'll wrap this one up for the morning. We'll be back later on, of course, with our Sony conference podcast. Yay. So get around that, everyone. That's in roughly like about 5 or so hours, I believe.
10 a.m. Australian time, is it?
Oh, 10 a.m. Australian time? Okay, yeah. Well, that'll be in about 3 or 4 hours then for viewers of this podcast. Wonderful. So thank you very much, and we will all see you later.